They straightway left their nets and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that we all have certain sights, smells, sounds, or tastes that readily evoke wide-ranging memories of times and places, of people in our lives, a sensory treasure trove which is easily opened, unbeknown to anyone else in the room or space, as for a fleeting moment, we are transported back in time. For me, the sound of waves, the distinctive smell of seaweed washed up on the shore, and the crunch underfoot of multiple crushed cockle shells, and the piercing screech of seagulls in search of the sea's harvest, readily take me back to my childhood and the seaside near where we lived. My father and I frequently took Sunday walks after church, parking in the same spot beside the cockle sheds in Leon Sea. It was quiet there in winter, except for the trains to London that would occasionally whiz by and the chatter of families buying ice cream was even out of season. This was all in contrast to the sound of the summer crowds with their picnics, buckets and spades, and gatherings in outside cafes and pubs selling catch of the day. And the close of day, we would be treated to the sight of a beautiful sunset across the estuary. It was on these afternoon walks that the tide would often be far out, and the mix of sand, shells and seashore debris would be washed up alongside the multiple boats, buckets and hefty, sometimes broken nets, which always appeared abandoned by mid-afternoon. Both they and the fishermen and women's work for the day, some of them parishioners, had long been completed, even while we were still tucked in bed at home in the early hours of the morning. Unlike my own fair-weather love of the sea, simply for leisure, the fisher's work continues to be bound by time and tides, with no option to cancel or change one's plan. Rather, a profession that upholds resilience, determination, endurance, teamwork, and a vast skill set. From what I gather, fishers too are blessed with a gift of trust, as well as instinct as to where to cast one's net and nurture an internal barometer, which denote where there's a storm brewing. Just as we heard from our crew on the parish pilgrimage to Lake Galilee this past spring, as quiet waves slapped on the side of the boat, we were told that in that region, a storm could break the stillness, our Sabbath rest, our calm at any moment. For many years, I've been perplexed by those fishermen, those first disciples in today's gospel story, with their apparent instantaneous, straightway, simplistic and perhaps thoughtless willingness to follow Jesus. However, this type of following bears greater significance than at first glance, for as I discovered in its original Greek, to follow, akoluthio, encompasses broader themes of accompanying and assisting. And interestingly enough, just as the term acolyte also derives from this verb, they aren't someone that simply follows a cross in procession, but someone that bears the light and love of Christ that others are beckoned to follow. In other words, the call to follow in today's gospel is not a singular but participatory endeavor in a way that we could ever imagine, for it engages all of us all our senses, body, heart, and mind, not one in isolation, but together. Early on in my faith, I also upheld a misconception of the disciples having somewhat of a before and after life, one in which their giving up of their work at sea demeaned the very profession they had been immersed in since their childhood, a profession that they'd committed their life to. However, as I've grown older, I see the call of the disciples in Matthew's gospel is not as straightforward as that. The call of these fishermen is not simply about giving up all that has been, but a summons or an invitation to give to God their future, who they will be and what they will do, as well as offer all that they have been, all their relationships, their skills, and all that they are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In this pivotal moment in their lives, Jesus, as we heard, stops these new disciples in their tracks, and their seemingly ordinary existence is poised to become extraordinary as they lay down their nets for him, to follow him. And in doing so, Jesus doesn't end but nurtures and transforms their life. He commits to continuing to use and develop their specific and maybe transferable fishing skills, their attention to detail, the team, sacrificial, hard work, their skill in knowing where and when to fish, how to listen to the sight and sound of the tides, to participate in gathering not fish, but now people together. The disciples' straightway or immediate and faithful response to Jesus makes their decision to follow look so easy. Unfortunately, we're not furnished with any hint of any caution, angst or concern, or a list of questions or conditions that they may have brought to Jesus for this new call. Were they being naive, irresponsible in their immediacy? A venture which does not seem to engage a period of discernment of body, mind, or spirit, or even psychological assessment associated with the church's approach to vocation today. Such wariness around this type of radical calling often surrounds our images of those who too are called to the religious life, of lives offered to God with vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Lives which we see are often mimicked in film, dismissed in conversation, or misunderstood even in the church. And yet, when such faithfulness is encountered, something too beautiful can happen in our own lives. When we witness or encounter a sister or brother's abandonment to Christ, or witness the inhabitation of a new vowed life, we see one immersed in the rhythm of community, service and prayer, a prayer which frames each and every breath and every single part of the day. Those disciples of Jesus of the past and those in our time who have laid down their nets for Jesus, whatever their pattern of daily living, in turn prompt us to choose Jesus and be open to laying down our own nets, the very symbols of our work, our identity, power, our assumptions, habits, or even possessions. All of these, maybe one of these, God may be asking us to set aside or lay down. Just as the disciples lay down their nets, their hands became empty to receive the gift God had in store for each and every one of them. What might happen if we do the same? This weekend, in addition to prayers for Christian unity and in line with a resolution by General Convention in 2022, Many parishes are reflecting on the call to the religious life as a radical witness, a source of encouragement for all of us in our own daily response to Jesus' call. It was a Roman Catholic Franciscan sister who helped me discover in my early days of parenthood that all of life can be prayer. And in reflecting on the mystical life of Thérèse of Lisieux's story of a soul following Jesus, too happens in the little ways that God shows us his love and asks us to share the same. In the busyness of our day, in the necessary chores, in the rhythm of story time and bath time, meal times, those mundane journeys on the subway, these repeated ordinary moments are not interruptions, but opportunities when we might offer our prayer to God. For God speaks to us in our ordinary places, just as he did by the shore to those fishermen. And God uses the opportunities of our everyday life that we might not follow, but also accompany and assist him in responding to his call to follow him. A call to follow Jesus, which isn't just for the few, but a personal summons or invitation for us all. I end with the words of a hymn, The Summons, by John Bell of the Iona community, an international ecumenical community of lay and religious working for justice and renewal. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.